All right, the life of faith. I'm going to start reading here, and if you'll follow along with me, I'll start reading at verse 8. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. All right, let me just kind of go back through it. We've been talking about faith, and we found out in verse 1 that faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What I said last time is that God responds to faith, and he never responds to anything but faith. Sometimes people are trying to get God to move, but for you to get God to move, you need some faith. And that we know that God is merciful, but then somebody's faith must be in his mercy for him to do what he wanted to do all the time. And the reason why is because this is a world that has been turned over to us, that you and I have been given authority in the earth, and God just can't move in the earth without our permission. Now, that kind of sounds like a strong statement. You say, well, he's God. He can do anything. Well, that's true. He can do anything, but he doesn't lie. And when he said that he turns this earth over to the man called Adam and Eve, then that's what he did. He said, let them have dominion, meaning authority and so forth. So for God to move in, just usurp man's authority before the lease is out, then would be a violation of his word. So God needs faith. And faith is needed by you, one, to please God. And it says here over in verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently do what? Seek him. So we need faith that we can please God, that have God's hand to move on our behalf. And then over in verse 5, if you look at that, now this is not a part of my message tonight, but I just want to touch on this because it's jumping out at me. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You get what I'm saying? And see, it goes right into the next one. Now, what does it mean, translated? Translated means that he was taken from one place to another. All right? So Enoch was taken from earth to heaven. And he was taken bodily. Okay? Now, let's can I just work with this just a minute here? Let's go back here to Genesis, please. In Genesis, in chapter 5, Genesis chapter 5, glory to God. If you haven't, say praise the Lord. Look what it says here in verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. When you say beget, you know what beget means, don't you? Okay, all right. Beget Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were how many? 365 years. Okay. Now notice, they seem to be giving times here. Now, when Adam was in the garden, did they tell you how much time he spent in there?
No.
Yeah. Did they indicate to you how old he was?
No.
Why do you think that was? Okay. Because mankind was not going to die. He was made to live forever. Okay? But God warned him, the day you eat of that tree there, you shall surely what? Die. So notice, it wasn't in God's intention for a man to ever die. So now, once he sinned and got put out of the garden, all of a sudden, you hear how old everybody was. Because everybody's headed towards death. Okay? So it's kind of interesting about this. So Adam, time did not dictate to Adam anything. Adam dictated to time. Did y'all follow that? Adam had dominion over all the works of God's hands. That's what it says in Psalms chapter 8. And a part of the work of God's hand was time. God has no time. He has no time. God created time for the earth. Okay? But he didn't create time to rule over man, because man was ruling over everything, including time. Are you with me? Here, Enoch, verse 24, walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Isn't that something? God took him. Now, what I said is that when you're walking by faith, faith brings you into a relationship with God. I want to find my notes, what I wrote on that. Well, it's here somewhere. And this relationship that Enoch had with God was such that God took him and took him bodily. I mean, took him whole. The only other two people that he took whole were Elijah and Jesus. Took them whole. Elijah, a chariot, taxi from heaven came down, and a limo, and picked Elijah up and took him on up. And then Jesus, a cloud, took him up. And we say at funerals, well, the Lord took him. Well, now, anybody the Lord took, he took alive. He wasn't dead. No, are you following what I'm saying? So I want you to see that, because Enoch was operating in such faith. Once you go and operate by faith, now faith is a higher law than time. Okay? Faith connects you with the eternal. And that's why faith has no time. Faith dominates time. When people sow seed and don't have any expectation, how can they be sowing in faith? See, faith is always when. Now, it has no time. Why? Because it's from the eternal realm. See? And it has no time. Once you come down through the timeline, you come into the earth, and this physical three-dimensional earth, all of a sudden you hit something called a natural progression of time. Now, everything has to wait. But if you have a seed that's sown, and you have a dominating by faith, then faith overrides time, and where it would take time, a long time, to do something, faith can shorten that time to right now. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? Now think about it. Everything that you've been trained to do, for the most part, in the earth, is train based on time. You're waiting for payday. It's time. Waiting to get healed. Waiting. It's all time. But if I had dominion over time, then I can take that wait time and bring it to now. No, come on now. That's a miracle. When usually you talk about healing, many times healing is progressive. It's something that is happening over time. For the most part, miracles are something that are instant. And a lot of people use healing and God gives them healing, but a lot of times they want a miracle. So in this, can I just show you this? I got a lot here tonight, and I'm going to just keep on time. Stay on time, praise the Lord. I might just stop time to give me time. Okay, so in this, here's Enoch, and he connected up with God. So he connected up really with the eternal. I mean, so faith brings you into a perfect fellowship with God. It can bring you into relationship with God that other things, nothing else can really bring you into. Now let's look at Enoch. Let's go over to Jude, J-U-D-E. It's all the way over by the book of Revelation. It's the first book prior to getting to Revelation. Okay. And you can't miss Revelation. It's all the way at the end by the maps. Okay. Look what it said in Jude. All right. Now, look at verse 14. And Enoch also, seventh from Adam. Now, it's talking about Enoch. And notice what is giving him his place in the genealogy here. He was seventh from Adam, prophesied. So right there, he was a seer. Prophetic gift, be able to see. Of these, saying, behold, well, let's talk about prophecy just a minute. Now, where does prophecy come from? But it comes from who? From God, all right? Now, everything that God's going to do for you, what about it? He's already done it. Now, if you can just keep that in your heart, you're halfway there. So everything he's going to do for you, he's already done it. His plan for you has been worked out before the foundation of the world. I mean, the time that he chose you, his plan had been worked out for you, and now you are walking out his plan. As a matter of fact, the Bible says you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Let me have that amplified down there. For good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. And that is found in Ephesians and chapter 2 and verse 10. I want to read that Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 out of the Amplified. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined and planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the what kind of life? Good life, which he has prearranged and made ready for us to live. Who was that, Tony Bennett or somebody? Oh, the good life. Hallelujah. Okay, but anyway, now, I want you to see, he has prearranged that. It's predestined. He's already carved it out for you. All he's trying to get you to do is obey. Just obey and you can walk a perfect life. You can get prosperity, blessing, peace, joy. Okay? Now, in this, Enoch, I turned my Bible, hold on. So it says here, verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh man. Oh, I didn't finish telling you what I was telling you about the prophets. So the prophet, the seer, sees things for the most part. And you got two terms in the Bible, seer and prophet. And in the Old Testament, it talks about a seer sometimes and a prophet sometimes. But a seer is one who sees, and a prophet is mainly is one who hears, okay? But both of them, it comes from God. You got what I'm saying? So you can see things that weren't there yet. All right? Now watch this. If God has worked it all out, and it's all played out already, then it's possible to see it. But it's not out, because then you're trying to look in time. But it's up. It's in the eternal where there is no time, and everything is already done. Lord have mercy. Okay. All right, look what it says, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh of Adam, prophesied of these sayings, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, notice what he's saying. He's saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Now, how would that look with Enoch back here, the seventh from Adam, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints? He is talking about something that's going to take place thousands of years from now. How did he get it? He saw it. How could he see it? By faith. Faith can see the future, because the future is already there. Now you got to see that. That's why the movies are trying to educate you. God uses the natural things many times in the things of the world. They don't know they're doing it. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and when he dreamed about a man who had a head of gold and chest and arms of silver and so forth. Well, notice God had to get Daniel to interpret that dream for him. Notice how Pharaoh had a dream about seven fat cows and then seven lean cows. So notice they're putting the revelation, he's putting it through them, and they don't even know what the revelation is. So when God, you know, there's movies like Next and all these kind of movies talking about, and I'm not telling you go to the movies now. I'm saying God will use all your environment to teach you. Okay. You can go to movies you want to. I mean, I'm just saying, you got to watch what you hear, though. I'm telling you that right now. Okay, now, so he could see it, all right? Because whatever God's going to do, he's already what? Done, okay? So as far as you're concerned, he's already done some things. Turn to Ephesians, please, in chapter 1. Amen. I got some good news for you here tonight. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 1. All right, look what it says here. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places. Where? In Christ. Now, when is he going to bless you? Hath is an old English word. It means has already, okay? Bless you. With what? All what? Spiritual blessings. Why does he say spiritual blessings and not natural blessings? Because all the blessings that he's blessed you with are always first spiritual. Got it? Now, how do they become natural, practical, physical blessings? By what? Faith. Have you been healed?
Yes.
Spiritual blessing.
Yes.
How do you get it?
By
faith. Do you have peace?
Yes.
Now, I don't know what's going on in your household, but you do have peace.
Yes.
Now, how do you access it?
By faith.
Come on now, do you have a little joy?
Yes.
Now, I know sometimes stuff makes you mad, but you can always get you a little joy. Now, this is not the joy that the world can give you. This is another joy. You're going to walk around smiling about something other folk going to wonder what you're smiling about with the situation so bad like it is. Amen to that. So it doesn't make any difference. Now let's go to the next verse here. According as he has what? Chosen us where? In him when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy. Keep going. And without blame, keep going, before him in love, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us what? Acceptable, come on, in the beloved. I don't care, other folk may not accept you, but he has made you acceptable. Now, so when other people reject you, you just get your faith and receive a little acceptance. Got it? See, it's already done. But hold it. I want to go back to something because I want to make sure this is there because I want to teach. I'm going to start teaching on something and I'm not going to tell you what it is right now. But look what it said. Verse 4. According. Now, according is connecting those two thoughts. He said he's blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he has what? Chosen us where? In him when? Before the foundation of the world. So when were you chosen? When were you accepted? When were you blessed? What were you blessed with? How are you gonna have to get them? So they're yours. He's not holding them back from you. Your problem is not God. He said, according to your faith be it unto you, for your healing, for your deliverance, for your anything you need, you got it. And his answer to all of his promises is yes and amen. So I don't need to beg God, I don't need to so forth and so on. Are you with me here? Now, the idea about this, now I can go several ways here. I wanted you to see the timepiece first, because that is very, very key to you understanding faith. You can't understand time from time. You have to understand time from faith. Now, do you understand that? Okay, but let's keep going with it. Let's look over here at Luke's gospel, and let's go to Luke chapter 9, I think it is. Okay, I said Luke chapter 9, didn't I? Hold on just a minute. That didn't work. Yeah, Mark chapter 7, please. Mark chapter 7. Now, what am I saying? And then I want you to go to Amos. Okay, just put it down in your notes. We'll get there. Amos chapter 13. Look what it says here, Mark chapter 7. Now, what is Jesus doing now? Because when he laid hands on the sick, immediately they were made well. Come on now. When he did something, looked like, I mean, the little boy sold 2 fish and 5 loaves. And immediately after blessing it, it started to multiply. He fed the people. He didn't wait till next week till we can, well, I'm sure hope God come through. Praise God. Are you following what I'm saying? I said something to you about time on Sunday. I said something about delays. Anybody remember what I said about it? Treat delays like you treat anything from the enemy. With contempt and disdain, I think I said, because we're coming into a new time. Do you hear me? Verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man to know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him. And he came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Put your hand right there. Turn over to Romans. I'm coming right back. Romans chapter 1, please. I'm breaking this down to you like a Philadelphia lawyer, boy. I'm telling you. Let me know when you get there. Romans chapter 1. Put it up on the board. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, come on, and also to the Greek. To the who first?
Jew
first. Come on back over here to Mark chapter 7, verse 26 again. And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Wow. Now, why would he say, let the children first be fed? Because it was first for the Jew. Come on now. And then for the who? Greek. And the children hadn't quite eaten yet. So it wasn't her time. Come on now, come on, you with me, right? However, and he said anyway to this woman, he said, it is not meet or right or proper to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Now, somebody's being called a dog in here somewhere. That's when most saints would have backed up and went on the other way. They ain't gonna talk about me like that. I don't know who you think he is, you know. All right? But look here, it wasn't her time. So right then, the Jews had this idea about the Greeks were unclean. They called them dogs. And they wouldn't go in their houses, anything. So notice what that was. He was operating in their time. But look what she did. Verse 28. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Lord have mercy. All right. She's pressing in, isn't she? Verse 29. And he said to her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil has gone out of your daughter. All right, now let's answer this. For this what? Saying. What did she speak?
Faith.
But she spoke the wisdom of God. And the Bible says, the wisdom of God, no man can gainsay or resist. Got it? Now, where did she get this saying from? Right. It was already written in heaven. She accessed it by faith. When you're in faith, God gives you what you need to overcome the world. Are you following what I'm saying? Any obstacle out there. So I'm letting you know that wisdom is something that'll unlock any door. The anointing of wisdom removes burdens. See, it destroys yokes. It makes it so that things that were impossible now become possible in your life. The wisdom of God. I said the wisdom of God. You got a lawyer that's speaking the wisdom of God in the courtroom, nobody can gainsay or resist it. Come on, you got a whoever speaking the wisdom of God, a school teacher, the wisdom of God, and so forth. We're gonna talk about that one time, the anointing of wisdom. Because that's key. Remember, wisdom always is accompanied by mighty works. Yes, indeed, mighty works. So a lot of times God's people not go anywhere because they haven't accessed wisdom. Now, when was that statement up there prepared for her to be able to extract it. Every answer that you'll need for every problem has already been laid up for you before the foundation of the world. Is this making any sense to you? So, now notice what happened. It was not her what? Time. Because it was for the things that God had were for the who first? Jew first. But this was woman pressed in by what?
Faith.
And because she pressed in by faith, the hand of God moved, placed in her mouth the wisdom of God, which Jesus could not resist. Got it? So this woman, where her daughter would have had to wait on her healing and deliverance, her faith moved her daughter's healing and deliverance back up to the now. Got it? And it'll move your paycheck to the now. Come on now. It'll move your deliverance to the now. It'll move your marriage to the now. Praise God. You don't have to wait on a storm to pass. Never see anything when Jesus spoke to that storm. Well, they sat down there and about after 2 hours, the storm passed. No, no. The moment he spoke, it was over. I said, the moment you release your faith, it's over. The only thing that stands between you and a billionaire and $1 billion is time. Now, let's go over to Amos chapter 13, please. Did you get that? Now, that took a little longer than I anticipated that to take. But if I can get you to see how you have dominion over time and you can use your faith over time, then you can understand how you can lay hands on the sick and right away. Come on now. You can understand how you can speak to that fig tree and something gonna happen to this situation. You can understand you have to tolerate stuff in your environment. You can speak to the devil and he'll quit right now. You all right? Let's go. What did I tell you? Amos, okay. All right, let's look at Amos. Amos chapter 13. Amos chapter 9. Look at verse 13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the who? Reaper. And the treading of grapes, him that what? Sows seed. Now what is he saying? He's saying seed time and harvest are going to come together. There's no more seed time in harvest. That the moment you speak it, it's going to come to pass. That the moment you plant the seed, it's going to come up before you leave the meeting. Since he's talking about grapes, let's go over and see some grapes. Let's go over to John chapter 2, please. Come on now. I'm saying that notice when it was time for Nehemiah to rebuild the walls, that should have taken years, but it didn't. It took almost 52 weeks. I'm saying that the things that you have, the projects that you have, don't have to take all the time that the world told you it takes. Are you with me? Where did I tell you to turn? John, okay. And don't let the enemy try to fool you. Well, you're not going to get married now. You're running out of time anyway. Tell him, no, I have dominion over time, devil, and you get your blab mouth out of here. You get out. Let the devil tell you you're running out of time. Look what it says here, verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My what? Has not yet come. He's talking about what? Time. His mother said to the servants, whatever he said to you, just do it. She didn't even pay attention to what he just said. See, he's talking in time, but if she buys that, then she'll have to wait. But if she comes in faith, she knows that she can do it right now. Look what it said in verse 6. And there is set six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. That's 20 or 30 gallons. That's 20 or 30 gallons now. There's 6 20 or 30 gallons of wine there. Now, I don't know how many people are there, but boy, that's a lot of wine. Come on now. Come on. 20 or 30 gallons. I mean, y'all remember when y'all was out there? Do you remember? Okay, you don't. Okay. Forgetting those things that are behind, right? Okay. Look at what it said in verse 7. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw out when? Now, and bear to the governor of the feast," and they bear it. Now, what was that drawing out now, bearing to the governor of the feast? Was that an act of faith?
Yes.
An act of faith, see. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water, that it was made what? Wine. He knew not whence it was, but his servants which drew the water knew. And the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. He said to him, now, wait a minute now. Every man at the beginning does set out his good wine, and then when men are well drunk, he puts out the rock gut. No, he puts out that which is worse. Come on, help me now. Help me, Holy Ghost. Okay. Then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine, come on, until now. All right? Bishop Tudor Bismarck preached an excellent message one time on that, right there. He actually gave you, coming through that wine, to show you how, what kind of price was on that wine. Because he took you through everything. He said, okay, first, you got to plant the vine. Then the vines have to grow. That's probably around 9 years. And then after that, they come with the grapes. The grapes have to be harvested, and then the grapes have to be mashed. Then the juice off the grapes has to be taken in, then it has to be fermented for sometimes years. You got it? Now, all of that took what? Time. But notice, he went right from one place right to the other, going over all the steps that were taking place because he took it away all that time. All that time. He was showing you that each one of those bottles probably cost, a bottle of that probably cost close to $1 million apiece. That's how exquisite that wine had been developed. It was a powerful thing. It's trying to make people see the abundance that God operates in. God is not a cheapskate.
Amen.
All right. Let's just give you a couple more. How about when Jesus spoke to the fig tree? How long did it take that fig tree to display the fact that it had been cursed? Okay, less than 24 hours. Am I right about it? Now, you know and I know it takes longer than that. If you even chop the root, it's going to take longer than that for the tree to do. But notice, it took no what? Time. We're dealing with Amos now, 9:13, because Amos 9:13 is for the now. It's for the latter rain. How about fish? Peter catching fish. Well, let's go to that one. Let's go to that one. We'll be done. Look at Luke chapter 5. Now, what am I doing now? I'm resetting your thinking. And trying to get you away from thinking that time has dominion over you. But letting you see that if you operate by faith, you have dominion over time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Let's go to, what did I tell you? Luke 5. All right. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw 2 ships standing by the lake. The fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said to him, wait a minute, we have toiled all when? Night. And have taken what? Nothing. Now in other words, we're in the middle of the day. It's not time to fish. Look what he says here. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Watch this. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and the net broke. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ships, and that they would come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon saw it, this is where I want you to answer me right here. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a who? Sinful man, come on, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the what? Draught of fishes which they had taken. Now, what astonished him? What does draught mean? It means great increase. So he was astonished at the what? Great increase of fish that were caught at the wrong time, so much. I fished at the right time and caught nothing. I fished at the wrong time and caught too much. Now, I guarantee you that even if he'd gone out there and he'd thrown that net out and they'd pull in two fish, Peter would have said, well, praise the Lord. But that is not God's hand. God's handprint is to astonish you. He is trying to amaze you. He doesn't want you to just say, okay, praise the Lord. He wants you to say, oh, Lord, Jesus, man. He wants you to run around the church. All right. Okay. That's enough of that. I can teach on time a long time. It's just a good message. All right. Okay. Now let's just do a couple of things to cover this. And then, now wait a minute. We're not out of time yet, because I saw 6 minutes up there, and I know I saw 6 minutes. Are we out of time? Two minutes and 36 seconds. See that? Who is that back there? Who is that back there? Have you served some time here? Praise God. Okay, now, the New Testament describes what the benefactor left us in the will. This is God's last will and testament. Got it? All right. He describes what you can have, what you can do, and what you can be. Now, I don't want to do any more with that, because I'm just about out of time. You got 4 minutes and 32 seconds now. You know, I like people who learn quickly. I like this. There's something about that that just does my heart good. You know what I'm saying? Amen. When you're handling paychecks, they know they better give you some more time. Praise the Lord. All right, let's look at Matthew chapter 9, please. Okay, I'm almost done. Matthew chapter 9. Okay. All right, come on. I want to deal with this you need faith to overcome the world. Faith is always declares the outcome before the fight starts. Faith fights the battles, and you fight the good fight of faith. It's necessary to get to where you're going. The spirit of faith always believes and speaks. Your faith never rises above your confession. Your confession builds the road over which your faith carries the cargo. You are purified by faith. The more you walk in faith, the more holiness comes into your life. Your faith can grow. As a matter of fact, as you understand the Word of God, faith grows. All men have not faith. People who don't know Christ, they don't have this kind of faith that I'm talking about. The God kind of faith, the Abraham kind of faith. Faith is a product of your spirit, not your mind. Faith brings you into a world of unlimited possibilities. Faith is creative. Faith is dominating. In other words, it'll create parts in your body. It'll dominate storms in your life. And faith must be fed because faith is a servant. Faith will give you place in any nation. Faith without profit is a fake. Faith establishes companionship with God. That's the one I wanted. Praise God. He called Abraham over in James chapter 2, verse 23, the friend of God. Man, that's a powerful thing when God calls a man his friend. Man, that's powerful. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 9, then in verse 27. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, a blind man came to him, and Jesus said to them, You believe that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, What? Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your what? Faith be it unto you. Notice what he didn't say, according to your money, according to your background, your race, your anything. He said, according to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, See that no man know it. But they went, and they were departed, and spread abroad his fame in all the country. Let's go over to Mark, please, in chapter 9. Last place, and I'm just read some stuff from where I'm. Mark chapter 9. Let me know when you get there. Praise God. Are you there? Yeah, okay. This is when a man brought his son, and his son had a dumb spirit in him. And he went to the disciples to get the spirit cast out, but they couldn't cast the spirit out. And the Bible says in verse 18, they could not, not would not, they could not. And verse 19 says, and he answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, wallowing and foaming. And Jesus, and he asked his father, Well, how long is it ago since this has came to him? And he said, Of a child. And oftentimes he has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, If thou can what? Believe. All things are possible to them that believe. I want to say just a couple of things and we'll go. There's power in believing. The way you think produces your world. The way you think produces your world. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, he says, As a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, some things when he says in his heart, he's talking about below the conscious mind. Because your conscious mind can make a decision on something, but your subconscious or your spirit be unchanged. And if you'll just look, just one more place, please. Matthew chapter 13, please. And put it up on the board. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31. Matthew 13 and 31. Let me know when you get there. Verse 31, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Watch this. Which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is what? Grown. grown, it is the what? Greatest among herbs, and become a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now he's talking about trees here. So he's saying here, now wait a minute. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which is a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it's the greatest among herbs. Everything else in the field, it overshadows them. Matthew 15, verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And he said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be what? Rooted up. Do you realize inside of you is what you believe? And you can say it's your belief system. And it could be in this state analogous to a tree, because it has roots in it and it produces something in your life. So the way you think produces your world. In other words, what's inside produces what you get outside. Now, people try to change marriages, change addresses, change jobs, but nothing changes in their life. And the reason why is because the tree is still there. Got it? Now, what is in you is creating your world. One of the things that people do best is blame other folk. But once you come into the kingdom, if God be for you, no one can stand against you. You need to plant that tree. So you and I must change the inward man. And when we do, the outward man will produce. Got it? Somebody told me that over 100,000 people last year became millionaires. And the only difference between them and those who didn't is that they thought differently. It had nothing to do with backgrounds, because most of the people who became millionaires were not as smart as the folks who didn't. The Bible is not a book of destinies, it's a book of decisions. And that you and I have to get in here, and when the wrong image is in there, that image says that this person who's been broke is now trying to get out of this broke state, and this tree is still in there. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to sabotage whatever they're trying to do, because I got to keep them where they are. And that's not your inside trying to hurt you. That's the way inside was made. It was made to keep you in the place where you are until you decide to make a change. So I'm saying that sometimes when people step out, they don't step out and seem to make the wrong decisions or whatever have you. A person was talking about people who had received, one man said this, your subconscious mind controls 95% of your daily activities. In other words, you're not even aware that it's controlling them in your life, because it's designed to work beneath your conscious level. You can take money from Donald Trump, but if you just leave him alone a while, he'll be back at $1 billion. And the reason why is because of the tree that's in him. Say amen to this. And this subconscious doesn't sleep when you sleep. It works 24 hours a day. So in this, you'll find that 90% of the people winning the lottery go broke in a very short time. Normally, within 5 years, they're exactly the same place they were before they got the money. Now, I got to teach on this. Because we got to find a way to succeed. We got to get Jesus. Here's Jesus. This is what he said. He knew what the problem was. They were in the covenant. You've been saved. The problem is not your spirit that you're not saved. The problem is that God can't do anything against you or for you without you believing. Say amen to that. And that belief system is down in there, folks, and it is regulating where you go, what you think, how you think, what you decisions that you make. Oh, yeah. It really is. All it is decisions. You think about it. So I'm just saying for you in here, everybody can be a millionaire. In a month. Well, I'm going to put that one on you. Sure you can. Sure you can. Nothing to it. But what we got to do is change the picture. Because you're going to follow your own image. Say amen to that. And when you're not coming out right, it's because that it's producing something still that is against what God had planned for our lives. And what you got to do is you got to work on that. Don't work on the outside. Let's work on the inside now. Are you following what I'm saying? So he is saying, do you believe that I'm able to do this? That's in Matthew chapter 9. In Mark chapter 9, he said, if thou can what? Believe, come on, all things are possible. God has taken the limits off your life. And folk, this is a powerful teaching right here. So if you don't mind, the next time I want to go into a little bit of that. And then let's go into getting some scriptures that can rewrite that subconscious mind, because that's a hard drive. And we got to rewrite that hard drive, see? Because it's still, you've got, remember when Jesus cursed that tree? He cursed a fig tree. Why? Because it had no figs on it. In other words, it wasn't producing anything that's producing life. And he cursed that thing. You remember the man who was blind? And then Jesus took him outside of town and put his hand on him and on his eyes. And then he took his hands off and he said, what do you see? He said, I see men like trees. Then he put his hand on him again, said, what do you see now? And he saw everything naturally as it was. Somebody said, well, he didn't heal him. Yes, he did heal him. But he was getting his spiritual sight back first. Are y'all with me? See, I'm just saying, there's a tree blocking the way. You can't see that way. We're going to move that tree out of the way. Because that tree has been God's. Jesus said, I came to get that tree out of you. I came, everything that the Father has not intended to be inside of you, I came to root it out. And watch this. The Word of God is designed for hostile environments. It's designed to go in and get any tree and root that thing out. Say amen to that. And Bible says when Mary came and Mary said, the angel said to her, said, hey, Mary, you have a child and so forth. She said, well, how's it going to be done to me? She said, well, the Spirit of God is going to come on you and so forth. And the holy thing is going to be born, going to be the Son of God. She said, well, be it unto me according to thy word. And you look that scripture up. It says no word of God is void of power. That every word in there, you can get the begots and it's got some power to it. Say amen to that. If your deficiency is in the financial area, go get you some financial seed. Because the sower soweth the what? Word. And while you sleep and rise night and day, this word will spring and grow up. You don't know how. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. And when the root this thing is full grown, then you put in the sickle. That means act on what you just feel inside. And you'll see all that stuff come. Are you following what I'm saying? Praise God. Boy, I feel we can go after this. I feel I got some saints that are ready right now. Come on now. Now, don't be concerned about how this is going to happen. Because the Word of God knows, the Spirit of God knows you, and He knows God. So He knows how to play these two and make this thing happen for your life. But just promise me this, when you get to be a millionaire, you're tithe. Okay, all right. Give the Lord a praise, that's all. Oh, yeah. If you're here and God's spoken to your heart about being born again, we want to pray for you right now. And God has spoken to your heart during this time. What we're trying to do now is make it so that you can get everything that Jesus died and provided for.